That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it is Saturday morning. Oh, geez, what day is today, Paul? I don't even know. Looks like the 18th. How about that?
18th.
Yeah. I've been trying to stay away from the calendar and stay away from the news as well. It's a little hard to do that. But anyway, good morning, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
We may have a couple other drop in. I know Jason actually got to do a little traveling, so he's away from the ranch and the print shop this week, and so don't want to bother him this morning, but we do thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. And it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, beautiful spring day, almost summer, not quite, but anyway, we'll have the phone lines open. Be glad to take your call today, the regular number, 307-745-5913. But Brother Paul, would you open us up this morning for just a word of prayer to get us going?
Certainly. I have. Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God on behalf of this ministry, Lord, that we'd be a blessing to the people that we talk to. We're not to create fear or stuff, Lord, but we got to be prepared for the future, and we have to be realistic about what's happening about us, Lord. And we need to be grounded in our faith in that you are in control of everything, Lord. And it seems, from our point of view, it seems out of control, Lord, but it isn't. You're preparing something for a great, that your name will be glorified in all the earth. And we pray that we'll instill this in the people that listen to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we've said before, lots going on. The weather patterns, you know, we've talked about earlier in the year had fires out here that we have not had before. Texas had the second largest wildfire in the continental United States, largest one in Texas history, back in February. just a little odd. March and April, we've seen fires out here. And, you know, Paul, we check with the Weather Service, and we report on those kind of things when for our local fire department and stuff and for our training. And it's not that we're in a drought. It's not that we've had record moisture or anything. It's just a very average year, according to them. And that's their forecast throughout the summer. But that's just not lining up with the fires that we've seen. The wind that we've had. Colorado has had several different wind events over 100 miles an hour. And that's just... The people I've talked to, I've talked with Jason, the people he's talked to, nobody remembers having these massive wind events over 100 miles an hour down there. And it just is out of the ordinary. Then you look at, and it just is getting reported, Houston had whatever they call it, Rachero or something, a big wind event. Seven people dead, over 100 mile per hour winds, a million without power. This rolled through, I guess, Houston and parts of Texas, Harris County, even over into Louisiana, over a million without power. You know, tornadoes, 100 mile an hour winds, not a hurricane, but... anyway, just things that are a wee bit different than the norm. Are you seeing that up in your neck of the woods as well?
Well, it makes me think this guy, this weatherman that used to be on, he was, you know, very dependable. He retired quite some time ago, but I heard him say it twice back when weather was predictable. You know, they just don't seem to get it right about half the time. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not, because, you know, and if you I don't watch weather much or anything, but a lot of times I'll look at the radar, see the fronts, and they're so thin and intense. Yeah, something's different, you know, the gentle rains that water the crops and stuff. It's not that. Everything is full blast, it seems like. It seems like to me something's different.
Sure. You know, we just had, I mean, it's been a, you know, the new year, new spring. We had the solar eclipse. And then not very long ago, we had the big, they call it a solar storm, the geomagnetic storm. And seeing the northern lights as far south as Alabama and even in Florida. And you know, being from Florida, I do not recall that ever happening before. I could sure be wrong in that, but I don't recall it ever happening. You know, when I grew up in Florida and even in the Carolinas, I spent time, the northern lights were something you saw maybe in Alaska and Canada and, you know, maybe up in some of the very northern United States. And so even out here up north, you know, we're in southeast Wyoming, but up in the northern parts, Montana and Wyoming, I see reports of those. But to have them for two different nights all across the nation, again, it's different. You know, not saying that, oh, this is what that is. I don't know, but it's different. And it's just that things are not the same anymore. They just aren't. We've talked about it. It seems like that it is, and it's coming out time and time again in different ways. We certainly see it. I think we certainly see it weather-wise. And, you know, looking back, Paul, the 7 years ago at this first eclipse that crossed from the northwest to the southeast across the United States and left a big old shadow. After that, I looked back through our notes. There were massive hurricanes that came up out of nowhere that, again, the forecast was wrong. You know, oh, this is going to be a little low category hurricane rolling through, and it just it changed course and was devastating. And the fires and the winds and the it was that way 7 years ago. It was abnormal after this that first they called it then the Great American Eclipse, because that was the first full solar eclipse that crossed this country since this country was formed, and this country only. And so, anyway, it is. It sure seems to be that way in talking with people that are seeing that, at least some, that things are a little different. Things are off.
Or on. That's who you look at.
I'm sorry, Paul, I missed that.
You said it's off, but I said or on. If it depends how you look at it. You know, God is in control.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Or on. Just different. How about that? Different. I'll go with that.
You know, last week I said, you know, it was 40 days since the Passover, but today is 40 days since the eclipse. So.
Yes.
You know. Yeah, I think we can expect some major things going on.
I think so. Well, folks, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Saw the State Department issued a worldwide caution alert for Americans overseas, citing the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, violent actions against American citizens. And worldwide, I mean, they offer cautions. I've seen cautions offered before for Mexico and, you know, Syria, certain places where there's unrest. But worldwide, again, there's a little something I don't recall seeing before. Not a worldwide travel alert, caution alert. And, again, I think that it just points that, you know, Paul, I can't help but think that when the Bible talks about it, as in the days of Noah, you know, that they were eating and drinking, partying, doing what they'd always done, giving and taking in marriage, it talks about. They were just going about their business, right? That day that the rain started was just like the day before, just like the year before.
Yeah. Well, look at the stadiums filled, just the football stadiums, just packed. You can't get in there. You know, years ago, there's a casino south of us about an hour in my wife's aunt, and we were coming back from there on a Sunday night, and the place was packed. You know, the churches were empty, the place was packed. But they, like, just like you said, they're eating and drinking and just having a high old time and just oblivious to what's going on around them. You know, and Noah's preached for 100 years and nobody listens. So I guess we shouldn't be discouraged. We have to keep our nose to who is in control of everything, you know. I mean, our food chain is just being attacked. This avian flu and stuff, they're destroying chickens and it's in the cows and stuff. And this is a planned destruction for America. They're flying in, you know, what do you call it, military-age young men in here, you know, not families, young men, military, just looking for, well, they're bored, or they're bored, looking for entertainment and something to do, and they're malicious, and they're being, you know, they're being paid to get in here, whoever's doing it. But the attack is on Israel, true Israel, the United States, and they're trying to... They're setting up to starve us out and everything. It's just everything they do is against the good of the people. In Europe, too, all the farmers are rebelling. They're putting them out of business and stuff. I mean, you don't get rid of your food supply. That's, you know, in war, that's the thing you do. You got to have your food supply because everybody eats every day.
That's right.
We've watched all of the things that they've destroyed in the last 2 years here, the warehouses and stuff that they've just burned down, destroyed and stuff like that. But we're in war. the war is against the white Anglo-Saxon male is what it's about.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, even on the political scene, you know, they talk about replacement demographics. And that was one of our conspiracy theories for years that, hey, you know, all these foreigners, millions of these undocumented foreigners coming in, they are coming in to stay and being given voting rights and things like that. And, of course, you know, prepaid credit cards and telephones and all that. But that is changing the face of America. We've seen it in 2007. In 2007, the kindergartners that started public school that year, that was the first year that the whites were no longer the majority in the public school. And so that's been, 17 years ago. So that's been almost a full generation that the whites have just been one of the many minorities in the public school system. And that it shows the replacement demographics. And it's not just blacks, it's not just Hispanics, but it's anything and everything, whether it's Asians or South Americans, whatever. They come from everywhere. Middle Easterners, Far Easterners, and it was a conspiracy theory for years. But when you, if you watch the news, you listen to some of the talk shows, the Democrats are just claiming it now that, yes, this is part of it. And these massive numbers, they affect the election system. Even if these millions are not voting, you know, when you've got an extra million people in the, say, in Minneapolis or in Wisconsin or Indiana or Colorado, you get more representatives in the House. I think there's a representative for every 467,000 people. I think that number comes to mind. So even if you get a 500,000 in these liberal blue states, and that's where they're sending most of these illegal invaders, they get another representative in the House. And so, you know, you see that in 10 or 12 different places. Well, that changes our government. It does. And so we're seeing this. It is an absolute demographic, the demographics, the racial and makeup of who is in America, and it's greatly being diluted and shifted over to definitely shifted away from the white Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people.
I don't believe this is a Democrat and Republican issue anymore. So many Republicans that voted to send money and, you know, big money elsewhere and stuff like that. And there's nothing good that comes out of Washington, D.C. We have to look in the mirror and straighten up ourselves. And there's going to be survivors, but they're not going to be many, because we are looking to the wrong God for our blessings. You know, just this whole COVID thing, they've got so many people addicted to the government handouts. We got to look to God for our survival. You know, Bible says you won't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, you know, and I've said for years, well, God can feed us man if need be, but that's the real deal. The Bible says it, you know, and we got to keep that in mind, but we can't get in total fear out of it, because he will take care of us. And whether we live or die, we get it taken care of. So, but God will not be mocked. These people think they got us by the tail, and they just flat don't. You know, we can get on that boat and close the door.
That's right.
You know, and it makes it a little different, but that is our remedy right there, is the God's salvation. And because man can't do it. Man is flawed, and God used flawed men forever. You know, David, all of them had some flaws. Everybody has some flaws. You and I have some flaws and stuff like that. But God uses the weak and the foolish, actually, is what he does. It's to make the wise, so-called world-wise, look stupid.
Amen. Amen. I like how you put that, too. It's really not anymore a Democrat-Republican thing. Don't mean to put it out that way. It's not. It is... It's a Christian versus a worldly war, a Christian versus a worldly viewpoint, worldview, however you want to put it. And that continues to come up. You know, we talked about how in the past, even in the, you know, the big sports, that's huge. You mentioned the big stadiums that get filled. And, you know, any time that there is any type of influence, Christian influence that comes in and through, especially the NFL, it is just quashed. You can think of Tim Tebow in the past. And, you know, he would give glory to God and that, and boy, he didn't last long in that at all. Just not at all. But and then just recently, you had this, I don't know if you saw it, this Harrison Butker. Nobody had ever heard of him before. He's, I think, a kicker for the Chiefs, a football team. And, you know, it's graduation time, and there's people giving commencement speeches and all this around. So he gives a commencement speech here just a week or so ago, that, and he's Catholic. All right, I'll put that out. But but he is pro-family, and talked about that, you know, we need to have marriages, we need to have families and things like that. And the backlash he has gotten on that, the White House has come against him. The Chiefs, have come against him. All the media, they're just in an outrage. How dare you talk about family and that women should be home raising children? Oh, my gosh, how Neanderthal can you be? And so that's been the media and the world response. But one thing I did see,
you know,
well, go ahead, Paul.
A while back, there was a real. I just watched this YouTube general thing, and you know, that's where I get my news and stuff. But there was this black man that got in Joel Osteen's face. He says, "Why aren't you telling people what sin is? They need to know what sin is." And this was a black man just laying right into him. And he says, "Why aren't you telling them this? They need to know what sin is." And that's absolutely true. Every Judeo-Christian in this world don't know what sin is. It's so clear.
That's right.
Transgression of God's law.
That's what the Word says.
Well, that's word's accurate. I believe it.
Amen. Amen.
I tried everything else.
Amen. Well, one interesting thing I saw about this Harrison Butker, this Chiefs guy that... He hasn't. One thing is he hasn't backed down, and even the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs owner's daughter has come in to support him, and so some people have stepped up and said, "Hey, wait a minute, this is okay. This is, you know, 50 years ago, this would have never raised an eyebrow. This is how we were 50 to 70 years ago." Again, there's that change that's come in, but Paul, his online jersey. Whatever it is, I did see a report that said his jersey sales have skyrocketed. And in today's world, I think that that's what it is people are showing support. That's how they show support. That's how they say, yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's like putting a bumper sticker on your car. And so the media and the world and the leaders and the organizations, they come against him. Oh, how dare you do this? How dare you? You know, that's not how we believe, and you shouldn't talk like that. But the masses out there, the people that, you know, don't have that media voice, that don't have that access to millions, but the people are buying his jersey left and right. And we've seen that, you know, we've seen that with hockey players that come out and, stand against abortion or stand for Christianity or football players or just whatever it may be. And that's usually how it goes, is the people, even if it's the silent majority, however you want to say it, but they show their support. I thought that was interesting.
Well, yeah, look what they did to Bud Light and all the stores and stuff. They, you know, Target and all of them, they voted with their pocketbooks. See, but these trouble is these huge, they've got the law of God written in their heart, but they're like stray voltage. I don't want that guy's jersey. That's
right.
Fine, but they made a statement, and then that's the truth, but they're not grounded. The Bible says he who dwells on the law cannot be moved, and that's what they need to do, because, yeah, they say something like that, and they're really excited about it, but they're really not grounded. You know, he's just a man.
Right.
You have a conversation with people, and you talk about God or Yahweh or what all these other goofy names that they use and stuff like that, but when you name the name of Jesus Christ, that conversation gets better or worse instantly. So
right.
That's the ground wire right there.
It is. I like how you put that, too, that stray voltage. And that'll kill you. That stray voltage will knock you flat. It really will. And and we do have to be grounded in the Word.
There was a farm not too far from here that I knew the guy, and then there was a Catholic church down the road. And when they had a service that night, his cows just went ballistic. There was stray voltage coming there somehow. But, you know, that's a real deal. But, I mean, stray voltage has been in farms for a long time. And what they got, what we have out here is so much voltage flying around, they can't ground it anymore. That's what stray voltage really is. But it's been a huge aid. But, you know, sometimes you have to go out and drive like 5 or 6 ground wires just to control it. And but there's so many radio waves, everything going. I used to go deer hunting up on this island out in Lake Michigan, and we were out there for a week, and there was actually no electricity. You can't believe how good I felt coming back to that, because we are affected by radio waves all the time, whether it be telephone, you name it. It's just the air is full of it, and it's affecting us.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't see them. And we get so used to them because we're around them all the time that I think most people just don't feel them anymore. But you're absolutely right. You get away, and it changes. You know, you get away on a hunting trip or a fishing trip. You get off in the mountains you go hiking something, and you notice it. You do. You notice it. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, broadcasting live from the Radio Ranch. And looking out, got a little, not really a corner office, or just our office, the little back room here, but it's a corner, got a window on a couple sides, and just a pale blue sky. I don't see a cloud in sight. Been a beautiful spring out here. The grass is green. The river's flowing. It is beautiful out here.
The Bible says, be still and know I am the Lord. And sometimes you just need to get away from people and things. And then you can actually think more clear. So, yeah, nature talks around us. You know, it is spring. It's here. It's beautiful. Everything can blossom and everything. It's just gorgeous. It's a beautiful time of the year.
Amen.
Because it's renewal.
It is. Well, let's try the phone lines. I see the line ringing. And good evening. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning.
Good morning, Richard. This is Terry from Winsburg.
Good morning, Terry.
I just wanted to report God has blessed me. The end of the last month, I was off the grid, and Steve sold the property, so he got in touch with a friend that has property next to his, so I just moved my camper down the hill, and now I've got nice open space, trees all around me. And there's a dead tree out there. Starts out a big stump, and then it sprouts trees and branches. Really left guy. That reminds me of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So anyway, Wednesday, I went down to the Wolfer Hardware Store and bought me a Generac generator. And I have an inverter to get my 120 volts. Are you still there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got this little candle. It's called Solar Stove, and it takes wood pellets. And I've got these, putty on each corner of my camper. And I just put the stove under there, and it heats up the whole roof. And the pellets are cheap, too. They're less than $7 for 40 pounds.
God provides, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, I'll be sending a check for next month. Make up the tie that I missed this one.
Well, thank you, Terry. We keep you in prayers, and thanks for the update, brother.
You're welcome, and God bless you all, and I enjoyed listening to you. And, I was unable to, when I was off grid, I charged my phone with my solar panels, but it's been mostly cloudy here. So finally, I got 12-volt light here, and I got to get my generator going to and hook up my charger to the battery because I got low power now. I can't get anything off the inverter. And this is an old inverter, too. I bought this several years ago, and I first hooked it up to the battery head, and it didn't seem to work. So I went down to Napa and bought me a new recreation vehicle battery. Now, the best one they have, $133. But I mean, that thing is heavier than the one I exchanged. I got $18 exchange price for the old one. And that one's heavy. But this one's smaller, too. And it fits right in my camper. I got it inside my camper. I got the inverter on top, 6 foot.
Well, good. Well, Terry, thanks for the call. Hope everything gets worked out for you. And, hang in there. It's good update this morning. Thank you. Yeah, it is pretty amazing. God provides wherever you're at. He does. And like you said earlier, Paul, if he has to provide manna for us, he's done that before. He's provided manna. He's had the ravens come and feed those that are his. He's had it where the oil did not run out. The flour did not run out. That there was, he is a God of provision. And if that's what it comes down to, like you said, we have our flaws. There's things that we cannot do. But there's nothing our God can't do or provide for.
I had a food dryer 40 years ago. And I got some silver around here, too, and stuff like that 40 years ago, but I come to the conclusion that is going to do me no good because I can't store up enough to live this whole thing out, but he can, and that's where my faith is, and I'm all for getting out of the food chain if you can. I'm all for that. I live that way. My mother can. That's all we did, and bought very little at the grocery store, but we could have lived right out of that basement for the whole winter. And we need to, and that I firmly believe that we need to get back to that. This food chain, you take, they're going to shut that slaughterhouse down in Iowa. 1,300 jobs gone, Tyson Foods. They don't care if you live or die. They look at their books of where they're making money, where they ain't, and that's all they care about. They don't care if those 1,300 families have anything to eat or anything. They absolutely don't care.
That's right.
Come to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right. Or the millions that get food from those places. How they, they're those slaughterhouses and those packing plants and things. They like them or not. They are. That's where a lot of our food comes from. And shut them down. Shut them down. Oh, the EPA regulations and like you said, the company's bought out and. And they don't care. It's bottom line. It's just greed, and stealing, killing, and destroying. And you can only sustain that for so long. And then it's going to be like that one day, like a thief in the night. All of a sudden, You think there's supply chain issues now? Yeah, just wait till it gets cut off. I encourage you, folks, read Revelation 18. Talks about the fall of Babylon, that, you know, that, all of a sudden the merchants are wailing because they can't, you know, they're crying over and the kings of the world that committed immorality with her, and they, you know, it's just no more. All of a sudden, in one day, it's no more. And we are privileged to see the preparation, the uptick, the leading up to the fall, the final fall of Babylon. And that's what we're seeing. You know, you read back through the Old Testament stories, and it's that way. It didn't just, everything was perfect one day, and then it all crashed. It was just like Egypt. You know, hey, these plagues came, and these warnings came, and it was over a period of time. And then finally that day came.
Well, look at our whole usury system. That's all people, they can live without working. You know, they look at their statements and stuff, and I mean, it's just epidemic. People don't, you can't get hardly get a white kid to do anything. They're just not taught to work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible says. But this whole, I never read it as a book written, Usury, Destroyer of Nations, and I know it's true. And there's another book, I think Chuck Colson wrote, I think during the next, you know, Kingdoms in Conflict, and that's exactly what it is. I never read the book, but that the title tells you what it is. The kingdoms are in conflict, the kingdom of God against this kingdom of darkness. And we know light always overcomes dark. The sun comes up in the morning, dark's eliminated.
Yes. Absolutely. And it is that battle between the kingdoms. I saw this article and haven't seen anything else on it. It was back the beginning of May. But May 2nd, Congress passed what is called the Anti-Semitic Awareness Act. And if that's ever been just an oxymoron, a conflict, another act leading into a law here in this nation that does not represent, is not a good thing, does not represent what is good and right for America and Americans, but just the opposite. But boy, it sounds good. It sounds good. But it basically, it's a bill that criminalizes any criticism of the Israeli state or of Zionism. And so it could criminalize the Bible, like in Acts where it says that, you know, the Jews crucified Jesus. I mean, that's been in the scriptures for over 2,000 years. And now man, you know, the U.S., proud to be an American, United States Congress has passed this Anti-Semitic Awareness Act that I guess with the right interpretation could criminalize the Bible again. And so, again, things are changing. You know, we have a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph in our land today, a government, however you want to call it, that do not care about the founding of this nation, that do not care about the people, the Americans, that they are, as you said, Paul, here to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're doing their job very well, and passing laws to make that shift.
Well, you know what, that oppression has to come because we've been silent too long. I mean, they took the Bible out of schools, the Ten Commandments out of schools how many years ago? And it's just been progressive and progressive, and they've been working toward this end. But, you know, it's like building a campfire. You get a little campfire, you get some twigs and stuff, and then you keep suppressing the heat until all of a sudden it's out of control and you can't suppress it no more. And that's when the Saxon begins to hate, you got a problem. I mean, you got a real problem when Saxon begins to hate, but he's been taught love, love, love all these years, and he's just stupid is what he is. you know, I come up to a stop sign, I got to use my discretion on when to apply this stuff. You know, it isn't just go through the stop sign. I mean, but I'm telling you, this oppression is good for us because we need it. We need to go to the woodshed. God is dealing with us. He will rescue us.
Yes.
But, you know, we got to pay for some sins that we did, too. But he will rescue us, and that's our hope. You see, and that's part of baptism. You go to the pool and say, you tell the whole world you're a sinner. Now, that takes you got to swallow your pride when you do that. And that's the biggest problem. I get anybody jump on a lake on a hot day. But, you know, to get the baptismal, that's a real life-changing mentality. Yeah, we're sinners. And my only, you know, there was a guy I went to see one time. He looked into the ministry, and I went to see him. I'm a sinner. I said, what's your sin? Well, I still smoke. I said, that's not a sin. It's stupid, but it's not sin. You know, you got to look what sin is. And I said, it's not your righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. You know, but we measure everything in the way we see things, and that's not the way to do it. God's ways are not our ways.
That's right.
So he's much bigger than us.
Amen. I can't help but think back to Gideon, Judges 6. You know, the Midianites here they were in the promised land. It had been a few years, and the Midianites had come upon them and had oppressed them and basically had them in slavery, had them as serfs. And the angel of the Lord comes and visits Gideon. And Gideon says, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. See, that was the strength of Gideon, is when he acknowledged God's miracles, that it was God that had delivered him, and it was God that had put him back in slavery. It was God that had allowed the Midianites to come in, and it was because of their sin, because they had become like everybody else, right? They had diversity and equality and inclusion with all the other people. And they were slaves in the promised land that God had given them. And
Well, you know, a few years ago, it just struck me right between, I was reading the Bible about Nebuchadnezzar, and it says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Now, we got to look at Joe Biden as my servant. You look at all these criminal people, they're my servant. We're put in these pairs of shoes because of our sin. But we can come out of it. You know, he's provided a way, but these people are God's servants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's my prayer. I pray that way, Paul. When I pray for our leaders, our elected officials, that those that love God, those that want to do right, that have a desire to draw closer to him, that have a desire for his law, that he blesses them, that he strengthens them, that we need godly leaders. And I encourage others to pray that way. You know, we've talked about it. Paul wrote to Timothy to pray for those in authority. And for those that love him, that's how I pray for him. Now, I pray for those that don't as well, and acknowledge that, Lord, I know that there's those in leadership positions, those in elected officials and whatnot that hate you, that hate your people, but that you have them, just like you said, Paul, as Nebuchadnezzar. They are your servant. And I pray, you know, that God doesn't, that they don't overstep their bounds, that he holds them. He's allowing them to go so far, just like he allows the sea to go so far, and that's it. And it doesn't go any further. And it's like that with these that are there for our punishment, that are there for our correction, to bring us back. God says, shall I not punish a nation such as this? And I think that's just where we are in Scripture, in prophecy. Those that foretelling is upon us today. And we do. You're absolutely right. Just like Pharaoh was his servant, and God had Pharaoh do what God wanted Pharaoh to do, and it's like that today. It really is. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, And I think when we do that, it's like Gideon. That's our strength. You know, go in this, your strength. Is that when we say, Lord, we, you know, you're the miracle worker. You're the one that has done this, you know, and your word is true. When we obey you, we are blessed. And when we disobey you, we are cursed. And that is the bottom line. You know, that is the word that became flesh. That is Jesus Christ. That is the word that became flesh. The blessings and the curses.
Well, we're like the prodigal son. We're out feeding Biden's pigs or whatever you want to say. And why don't we go back to God and have a bit relieved of this? You know, you got to break it down in simple terms, but that's simplicity. These people, the biggest lie that a congressman or anything thing, they make law. They don't. They make statutes and stuff, but God makes law. There's one lawgiver. And these people ain't making law. They're making policy. Yeah, it's our policy not to, as anti-Semitism and stuff, that's all policy of theirs. But we don't have to live by that law. We've got another law.
Amen to that.
I have learned over time, though, you don't talk about some stuff if it don't make any difference. You know, if a person's not interested, you make a little mention of it, but if they don't grasp it, just keep on going, because there's not a lot of people that want to hear. I mean, it's refreshing to have the friends that I have, and they're not many, that know the word, you know. None of us are perfect, for sure, certainly, but God
right.
is.
But he desires us to do our best to overcome that flesh, to overcome that imperfectness, and to look to him and his word and his law. You know, we read that your word is a lamp to my feet. You guide and direct us. His word does. His law. There was some quote from some football coach, Lombardi or something like that, that said something like, you know, we should strive for perfection. We'll never get it. But if we strive for perfection, you know, we will hopefully reach excellence, something like that. And it's that, you know, that's what we look to. That's what we put before us. That's what we have as our, you know, that we want to be better. When we look to his word, and we use his word, his way, his law, his statutes, his commandments, you know, it's not for righteousness' sake. It's for because we've been saved, because he has allowed us to be saved, because he's died for us and shed his blood for us. To where that's the only, you know, that's our salvation for sure. That's the righteousness that we have, the only righteousness that we have. But because of that, we strive to do what is pleasing to him, because that's what's best for us. That's the healthiest for us, is to follow God's law, at least for his people. That's the best mental health that we can have, is when we cast our cares upon him and we're anxious for nothing, but in everything we present it to him and we have that peace of God. That's what's best for our land, this earth that he created. But it's not best for the parasite. It's not best for the enemies of God. And they know it, and we don't as a people.
Well, with that attitude, you will be better than you were, even if you don't make it.
I guess. You know, it's just like Terry that called in. Terry doesn't have much. Terry's got a little camper, and he's got to rely on a generator and all that. But you know what? He praises God all the time. And I just use that as an example. And, you know, these things of the world are fleeting. This grass, I'm looking out at the window and at the radio ranch, I I'm looking up at the hillside where the pastor and his wife and his son are buried. And the hillside is green. It is. But, you know, come fall, it's going to turn brown. This grass withers. And we read about that in the Bible. And it's representative of this life and everything that is here. All this is temporal. It's temporary. It's just, you know, we're here today and gone tomorrow. But the things of Christ, the things of His Word, that is eternal. And, you know, life with Him is eternal. And that is just not in the, it seems like it's just not in the thought processes of our society today. Just, that's not what people think about. It's just, you know, give me more, more, more. What's my 401k doing? And I sure hope the Fed drops that interest rate so I can borrow more money and go and do more and buy more and have more, more and more, more and more and more. It's just absolutely backwards.
Money turns to dross. Dross is getting worse by the moment.
It does. And, you know, today, in 1980, was the day Mount St. Helens out there in, where's that out, Washington or Oregon, erupted. And totally changed the landscape out there, killed people and that was a big deal. That was today. Beautiful spring day. You know, there were people out hiking and, oh, man, it was beautiful. And boy, it changed in an instant. And 44 years ago, and nobody expected that. Oh, it'd been burping and sending up little smoke and stuff. But when she went, she went. And those things happen.
That's almost inconceivable power.
Right.
You know. You said what a yard of dirt was. Ways and how many yards went flying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're kind of wrapping up here this morning. I wanted to offer, I've got these, they're little pamphlets almost, they're 35 pages, but they fit in your pocket. And it's a book a little booklet by Colonel Moore. It's called The Brainwashing of America. Now, he put most of this in a larger red-covered book, I think, was part of it. But this is a little black-and-white pamphlet. On the front, it says World Protocol. And it's, again, by Colonel Moore, The Brainwashing of America. I want to offer it, and if you want it, folks, just ask for it. But it says, an intimate look into what has caused the United States to change from a Christian constitutional republic into a democratic welfare state headed for the dictatorship of the New World Order and the formula for our survival as a free and Christian people. And I got a box of these, and, you know, it's just loaded with scriptures, and it is a good summary. It tells how this nation has changed, like he says, from a Christian constitutional republic to this democratic welfare state, and still headed down. It's not getting any better. And so, if you'd like this summary, again, it's called The Brainwashing of America. Be glad to send it to you. And I like his quote on the front. His scripture says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," and that's Proverbs 29:18. And it like you've said before, Paul, the law has been done away with in the minds of the people. It's not taught, it's not promoted, and it's our downfall.
Yes, it is. And we can't forget, God took us across the Red Sea, the Jordan Rivers, through the Caucasus Mountains, through Europe, and here, when He's not done with us. There's always a remnant. The remnant's not enough to do the whole room, but there's always a remnant that will survive.
That's right.
And, but you got to seek, and you shall find.
Amen.
But you got to go look for it.
Amen. Well, Paul, thank you. We're out of time this morning. God bless, brother. Hope you have a great weekend. And thanks again for your words of encouragement.
You're welcome.
And Remnant, thank you. I want to ask you to join us for church tomorrow. And good Lord willing, we'll have a live start out at 8:30 Mountain with a review of the news and a timeless pulpit truth. And I'm bringing a live message tomorrow. Going to talk about the emperor that has no clothes, if you remember what that's about. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels. So they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected